Well, during the past 2 months, starting in November, we've been going through this series called The Coming. And a part of that was looking forward to Christmas and thinking about the Advent season and remembering how our Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth. But also part of that is looking forward to Jesus' coming. And so even though Christmas has come and gone, we still look forward to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we want to use one more week. This is the last week that we'll be going through this series. But we want to use today just to remember how our Lord Jesus Christ will return. And so with that in mind, why don't we turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, and we'll be reading the last section, starting in verse 31. Now, I want to encourage everyone to open up your Bibles. If you have a physical copy, or maybe you can open up an electronic copy. Again, there may be verses that I turn to or that I look at that may not be shown on the screen. And so I just want to encourage you guys to do that. And maybe if you see a neighbor that doesn't have a Bible in front of them, if they're wanting to look, you can ask if they're willing to look at it with you. Matthew chapter 25, starting in verse 31. This is the reading of God's word. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they also will answer, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you?" Then he will answer them, saying, "Truly I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Today I have a series of questions, and I would like us to just think of what your first answer is. All right? What do you think of homeless people? Would you be willing to have a conversation with a person who is in prison? Would you be willing to give away your jacket on a chilly day, especially this week as it's going to get really low, to someone who needs it? Would you be willing to sit down and have a conversation with a COVID patient? Would you let a homeless person stay in your home? I want us to think about these questions because it has a lot to do with our passage today. And the way that we normally may answer some of these questions may reveal something about what's going on in our hearts. So whether it be with our time, with our money, with opening our homes, with giving away our things, we're called, according to today's passage, we're called to live generously because Christ gave up everything for us. And so that's the main idea for today. live generously as Christ did for us. Live generously as Christ did for us. And our three points for today is, number one, live generously. Number two, live generously through Jesus. And number three, live generously for Jesus. The title is, Do You See Jesus? And it's because Jesus has said, if you did it or did not do it to the least of these brothers of mine, you did not do it to me. And so the question is, do you see Jesus in these people? Now, I'll explain a little bit more clearly what I mean by that. Number one, we're talking about living generously. Again, the main idea is to live generously as Christ has been generous with us. And so, number one, living generously. You know, when I look at today's passage and I was preparing for it, I was really excited for it because it's one of my most favorite passages, especially that talks about the end times. It talks about Judgment Day. It's a very vivid picture. And I think I like it very much because when I was in junior high, I did a play according to a song that's based on this passage. And so I think about this passage here and there, and it's just a very vivid picture of what will happen in the end of the age. Now, I just want to do a quick summary of what this this last description is about. All right? So number one, we know, and the Bible tells us over and over, that Christ will return one day, and he will sit on his glorious throne. And the work that he will do is that he will judge all people. And that's what we find in today's passage. The second thing is that all the nations will be gathered. All the peoples from all around the world will be gathered together to be judged. The third thing is that those that are separated out and that are sitting or that are standing on his right will inherit the kingdom based on what they have done. I want to be clear. I'm going to explain this a little bit more clearly later, but it tells us that they will inherit the kingdom based on what they have done. And the fourth thing is that those that are on his left will be thrown into the eternal fire based on what they have not done. Based on what they have not done. Now, some key observations about this passage is that, number one, a lot of times people think of this passage as a parable because it mentions sheep and the goats. And so if you look in verse 31 and just a couple verses after, it says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne, and it's his throne of judgment. He will sit on his glorious throne, and before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on the left. And after that, it doesn't mention sheep and the goats again. And so sheep and the goats, this idea of separating the peoples like as the shepherd separates the sheep and the goats, it's only talking about this idea of separating the peoples. And the rest of the passage is not necessarily a parable. It's just a description of what's happening or what's going to happen on Judgment Day. Now, the next thing to point out is that in verse 34, it calls all those that are inheriting the kingdom, it calls them blessed. So let me read verse 34 for you guys. It says, then the kingdom will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Now, it's really interesting because this passage, this tells us here that those who are blessed are not necessarily blessed because they did something. They're not blessed because they did some good stuff, right? But they are blessed because God had already known them. God had already chosen them. God had already prepared for them this eternal kingdom from before even the foundation of the world, before the world was created. And so people that come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and even now people out there that aren't believers, they don't call themselves Christians, but then sometime in their future, maybe they will come to believe in Jesus Christ. All of these people that in the end that have put their faith in Jesus Christ are the ones that are called blessed. And they were called blessed even from the beginning of this world. Another thing to point out in verse 41 is that it says, now this is about those that are on his left. It says, then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Now this is really interesting because it's a little bit different from how the blessed were called blessed and how the kingdom of heaven was prepared for them from the foundation of the world. Here it says that the people on his left are called cursed, and they will be sent away into hell, into the eternal fire. And the eternal fire was prepared not necessarily for these people that are cursed, but they were prepared initially, originally, for the devil and his angels. But because of how they don't respond to Jesus, because they didn't see Jesus, because they didn't accept Jesus, because of how they didn't respond to Jesus, they are called cursed, and they will join the devil and the angels in eternal fire. Now, I want to go back to this idea of how people are being judged according to what they have done. This is an idea that does exist in Scripture, and sometimes we can get confused with this idea because in Christianity, what we do say and what we want to say over and over again is that a person is saved by faith, not by works. But the Bible does tell us that a judgment will occur according to all that people have done. Let me read a passage for you guys from Revelation chapter 20. This is not an idea that's just found in Matthew. It's found in other places in Scripture. Matthew chapter 20 verses 11 to 15 says, then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. From his presence, earth and sky fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books according to what they had done. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one of them, according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Now, I'm going to come back to this idea, all right? We could keep that screen right there. So, no, you could go back to that screen, yeah. So, living generously is the idea that I'm using here, all right? So, living generously will lead to, according to today's passage, will lead to eternal life. Now, I want us to keep this in mind. There's a couple other points that I want to make about the passage, and that is that both, whether they were blessed or cursed, they did not know that they were actually ministering to Jesus when they did it. All right? So there's something about the mentality there where, you know, those that are blessed, they want to bless whoever it might be. They have this heart, this desire to want to bless people. And so at times, maybe they're blessing people, but then they're not even knowing that it's Jesus that they're blessing, that they're ministering to. And on the flip side, those that are cursed, and the simple idea is that they are not thinking about other people. They're not thinking about being blessed, or they're not thinking about blessing other people, but they're just thinking about what's going on in their own lives. They're thinking about what's going on in their own hearts. And again, I'll explain this a little bit more, but that's what's going on with the cursed. And with the cursed, maybe they had an opportunity to bless Jesus, but they did not. Now, one last point about the passage is that Jesus says specifically to them in response. They say, when did we see you naked or poor or in prison or sick? When did we see you like this? And Jesus' response is, and the king will answer them, in verse 40, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. And in the same way, in verse 45, it says, then he will answer them, saying, truly I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. His answer is pretty much with the same idea, but one group did it to Jesus and one group did not do it to Jesus. One group ministered to Jesus and the other group did not minister to Jesus. Now, Who is the least of these that Jesus is talking about? The least of these, my brothers, Jesus says. And there's a lot of debate among scholars about who this is actually pointing to. But I do believe, and it's not just my own idea, but I do believe that this is talking about Christians or people that are coming to believe in Jesus Christ. And so whether or not they call themselves Christians now, it's talking about people that will, in the end, will be found to be Christian, people that have put their faith in Jesus Christ. And the reason why I say that is because Jesus says, whatever you have done or did not do to the least, and this is talking about anyone, even the least ones of my brothers. And so I do believe that this is talking about believers. Now, I want to make it clear, this does not mean that this exempts us or it causes us to say we don't need to minister to unbelievers out there. But I do believe what this is saying is that we can minister to anyone out there, bless anyone out there, because we don't know who is a believer and who's not. We don't know who is blessed and who is not. So we can minister to anyone out there. But if we know that there is someone among us here within the church that has a need and we don't do anything about it, then there's an issue there. We need to be focusing and being sure that all of the needs of those that are in our congregation are met. And we need to have this focus of putting an emphasis on caring for the brothers and sisters that are sitting next to us right now. We need to keep this in mind. And this is not just the gathering on Sunday so that it's just me and God worshiping the Lord. It's not just that. It's coming together as a family, as Christ's body, worshiping the Lord together. But if there's a need on one part of the body, we're gonna tend to that. We're going to do that together. And this is something that we need to keep in mind as a church. Living generously will result, will lead to eternal life. But what the Lord tells us is that we are blessed that put our faith in Jesus Christ. We are blessed, and this blessedness comes from even before the foundation of the world. And so if we could go to the next slide. What we know from Scripture is that the Holy Spirit is working in us. The Holy Spirit is working in all of us. Even before a person declares that they're a Christian, the Holy Spirit is working in a person so that they would want to come to believe in Jesus Christ. And so all of us here that call ourselves believers in Jesus Christ, and you are firm about your faith, you are genuine, is what I mean. You're genuine about your faith. You can know that the Holy Spirit is working in you and has been working in you to bring you the faith that you have, and that faith will result in living generously. Living generously is more of a result of the Spirit working in you, of God working in you, rather than something that we need to conjure up ourselves so that we can get eternal life. Living generously is a result. And so let me just say that if you have this desire to want to help people, if you have this desire, but you don't necessarily know how to do that, to help the homeless or to visit the sick or to visit those in prison, it's the Spirit that's working in you. Listen to that feeling, that desire. Go for those things. Live it out, because that's God working in you, telling you this is the good work that I want to do through you. I want to point to one other verse that talks about this idea. John chapter 15, verse 5 says this. I am the vine. This is Jesus speaking. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. And so if Jesus is not working in your life through the Holy Spirit, you will not be able to do anything that pleases the Lord, that glorifies the Lord. But if Jesus is working in you, then there will be fruit. There will be this idea of living generously with your life. Here's the thing, though. Many times, I'm not like that. I'm not always so generous with my time. I'm not always so generous with my finances. I'm not always so generous Because there's just so many things that I need to take care of. Now there's this battle that's going on inside of my heart, and I'm sure that many of us can also identify in the same way, where the Spirit is working in me saying, go and live generously. Go and live for my kingdom's sake. Go and tell the gospel to people and go and bless this world. Go and bless your city. Go and bless your workplace. Go and bless the hospitals. Go and bless the schools. Go and do it. But there's this other side of me where there's this temptation that says, no, but you need to take care of your own needs first. There's this temptation that comes, and I have to admit to you guys, a lot of times I listen to that temptation and I fall into it, and I would rather choose to keep going and use the money that's in my pocket for my own lunch and just pass by the homeless person that I see. And I think, oh, well, that person must be on the streets for a reason. Maybe they're just mentally ill. I'm just being very honest about some of the thoughts that I have. Or I think, you know, maybe they just aren't able to keep their job. Maybe they're lazy. Or maybe if I give them food, some people have told me that this lady that is on the streets near McDonald's by Tai Da, that she's just going to go and use it on alcohol. And so maybe I'm hungry. I'm hungry. I didn't have breakfast today, so I'm just going to hold on to my money and just eat my lunch. And there's this thought where I know that I want to give to the poor, but at the same time, there's this temptation comes that's pulling me the other way, and I start to think about all these reasons of why I need to take care of myself first. And I fall into that temptation. And let me just give a couple other examples. Maybe some of us have said, I don't have enough money right now, so how can I give generously? How can I give generously to the poor? Or how can I give generously to a missionary? Or how can I give generously to the church? I don't have enough money myself. Or I'm busy trying to be successful. I'm trying to make my business work. But because I don't have enough success, how can I have time right now? I need to focus on my work. I don't have time to visit the sick or those that are in prison. I need to make sure that things are going well with my job. Or if I feel like I need all my clothes, I need my winter jacket and I need my summer jacket and I need my summer tank top, but I also need my winter tank top that I wear underneath. Because I just don't know if I'll have enough for the different kinds of events or seasons that come along here in Taiwan, which aren't many, but then I'll never have the idea that I'll be willing to give my clothes away. Or if I feel hungry and I don't have enough food, how can I give food to others? Or even for rich unbelievers, maybe there's some people that are very willing to give, but they're not necessarily willing to give because they're really caring for the other people. They're really willing to give because it makes them feel better about themselves. It's still about themselves. It's still about blessing themselves. It's not necessarily purely, genuinely about blessing those other people. So when we go through all these types of thoughts, when we're struggling and we're not necessarily thinking about other people, but we're thinking about what we want or what we need in our lives, what ends up happening practically, even in the church, is that we don't know the people that are sitting right next to us. We don't know what their needs are. We don't know how to care for one another. We don't even know how to pray for each other. And that's because our thoughts are constantly going to, I need to care for myself. And why do we have this thought as believers? Why do we have this thought of, I need to care for myself? Well, the reason, perhaps, is because we've taken off our eyes off of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is able to give us everything that we need. All the ways that we want to be satisfied in our hearts, He can give us everything that we need, but we take our eyes off of Jesus and we think, how can I satisfy myself? And that's why we constantly fall into this. And if this is something that is constantly going on in our lives, even though we call ourselves Christian, And this is kind of a wake-up call for all of us. And I do believe that this passage was given to us, that Jesus said these things as a way to remind believers, be wise. I'm coming when you don't know, and I will judge. And be faithful with what I've given you to do. Because there may be people, maybe one of you, I don't know, who call yourselves Christian because that's your culture, because that's what you've grown up with. And you don't really know what it is to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't really know what it means to have the gospel and to believe the gospel. And so what ends up happening is that we just constantly fill our own needs. We want to bless ourselves, and we're constantly giving into that temptation, and we're not seeing our God as the only God of our lives. We make these other things our gods. And that's why Jesus says to those people that respond to him, when did we see you, Jesus, without clothes and hungry and thirsty? When did we see you like this? And Jesus will say, whatever you did not do for the least of these, you did not do for me. Depart from me. So some of us here may be feeling a little bit maybe scared or unsure of our own salvation. And the question is, what can we do about that? Well, this is our second point. Usually I want to spend a lot of time on the first point, but here's the second point. The second point is living generously through Jesus. Through Jesus. You know, there will be many times that I fail, and there will be many times that you fail. But there was one person who never failed to live generously in his life, and that was Jesus Christ. We see this in the Old Testament through the scriptures, how God continued to provide. God fed the Israelites when they were hungry. He fed them in the desert with manna. God gave them drink from the rock. God welcomed them even though they were strangers in the land of Egypt. God gave them clothes, and their sandals did not wear out in the desert. God provided the bronze serpent when they were sick and dying. God ultimately provided a way out of captivity when they were held captive. And in the same way, in the New Testament, we find Jesus, when he comes to this earth, he lives in that way, living generously, perfectly. Jesus, in the same way, fed the 5,000 and 4,000 people when they were hungry. Jesus welcomed strangers and ate with sinners. Jesus cast out demons from people so that they would be clothed. And if you don't know the story about that, it's because there was a person that was demon-possessed, and he would often tear off his clothes, and he would beat up other people. But as soon as Jesus cast out the demon, he was able to sit there in his right mind, clothed. And Jesus not only visited the sick, but he healed the sick. And Jesus is able to set us free from captivity to sin, our captivity to sin. And he did that by dying on the cross for our sins. So if you are here today and you're looking to be filled and to be satisfied and know what it means to be fully satisfied in the Lord, I call you to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Even if you're a Christian, you call yourself a Christian, you can still turn to the Lord today saying, I've tried to satisfy myself in all these different ways, but Lord, I know that I can't on my own, and I need you to satisfy me in every way. Turn to the Lord Jesus today. Now, because Jesus lived perfectly, and he died, an amazing thing happens when you put your faith in Jesus. Again, I want to remind us that the Spirit, if you want to put your faith in Jesus, the Spirit has been working in you to bring you to this place where you want to put your faith in Jesus. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, it talks about how there's this amazing switch that happens. It says this, for our sake, God, he made Jesus, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus gave generously, and he did it perfectly, and we did not. And we deserved death. But instead of dying, Jesus died for us. And that perfect goodness, that perfect rightness was given to us. And so now, if we one day, or when we one day stand in before Jesus on that judgment day, we don't have to worry about how we failed to live generously. We can be confident that Jesus' righteousness is on us. We don't have to be afraid of that judgment day. We can be confident that God is working in us, that God is working in us to give us the faith, that God is working in us to produce fruit so that we would live generously, that God is working in us so that on that judgment day, we wouldn't be condemned, but we would receive eternal life. Jesus is working in us, not only now, but he will continue to work in us. And if you have put your faith in Jesus Christ, know for sure, be confident, you will inherit the kingdom of God. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, it reminds us that Jesus is working in us, Jesus was working in us, and Jesus will continue to work in our lives. It says this, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith." He will continue. He started working in us, and he will continue to work in us, and he will finish that work in us. "The founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God." And so here's the third point. Live generously for Jesus. Keep in mind that you may not know who is a blessed one that's out there. And so we want to live generously. Those of us that call ourselves believers know that God is working in us to produce fruit. When you have that sense, that desire to go and be a blessing to someone, go and do it in obedience to what God is telling you in that moment with the thought that he's given to you. As you hear from the sermon today, or even as you read from your own readings from the Bible, when God tells you to go and be blessed, or he gives you this desire to bless someone, go and do it in obedience. How can we do that? How can we live generously for Jesus? Well, in terms of feeding the hungry and thirsty, I'm just going to get the examples from today's passage. Let's actually, together, but also individually, let's find ways that we could feed the hungry. Some of you guys know about a brother who is a Christian. He calls himself a believer who lives on the streets in this area. His name is Jason. I don't know. He said that he's going to join us today. Jason, are you here today? Okay. Jason told me, I ran into him. He said that he was going to be here today, and he wants to attend service and things like that, but he lives on the streets. Is there some way that we together as a congregation that we can help him? Every time I see him, he always says, you know, I'm looking for a job, and I could do anything. I can wash dishes. And I had a job, but I lost the job. I only worked for a few days and I lost the job. Is there something that we can do? Is there some organization out there that we can partner with, that we can help with? Is there something that we can do? I want us to think through these things. How can we be a blessing to these people? I saw a Facebook post by the owner of The Three Idiots. How many of you guys know that restaurant, The Three Idiots? It's an Indian restaurant that's right next to our old building. The owner, I don't know if he's Christian or not, but he sent out a Facebook post saying, I'm going to give out our leftover food to the poor and the hungry out there. So is there anyone out there that wants to join me in helping me to distribute the food? And I responded to him. And he said, thank you, we have enough people already. And I said, hey, look, we have a church full of people that might be willing to help out. Let me know if you need more help. Would you be willing to help out with that? Let's think creatively about how can we really reach out to the people that are out there. What about welcoming the stranger? You know, every year there are teams that come from America or from other parts of the world that are mission teams that are looking for places to stay. They're strangers, but are you willing to open up your home to welcome these strangers? That's just one example. There may be other types of people, other different people out there that might need a home where we might need to welcome them in. Clothing, giving clothes to the naked. Are you willing to donate clothes? Recently, there was a sister who told us that she wanted to send clothes to the Philippines. And so a bunch of us, thank you for everyone who did give clothes, a bunch of us gathered some clothes together and they're going to be shipped to the Philippines, if not already. Can we do that? Visit the sick. Are you willing to visit those that are in the hospital? Maybe those that are COVID patients. Of course, we have to be careful, but are you willing to do that? Are you willing to remember that the Lord will let you live as long as He wants you to live? And He will take you home when it's time to go home. And with that in mind, that I will be willing to even risk my life to go and visit the sick and go and do things and for the Lord. Not dumb things. I'm talking about things that are really for the Lord. All right? Or visit those that are in prison. There's another sister in our congregation who would go and do prison ministry. Are you willing to do that kind of thing? I really hope that as a church, and especially in this year has been very, very difficult for a lot of us for multiple reasons. And this year has been a year where we've been grounded. We're not able to leave the country as easily. And it's been difficult for us to maybe even go out and not be kind of fearful every time someone sneezes next to us, right? But are we willing as a church? My hope is that we would be, as Friendship Presbyterian Church, that in this next year we would work together. Talk in your community groups. How can your community group specifically go out and do something in this city? How can we as a church do something? And so here's the practical application. Number one is let's think together. Let's try to find creative and innovative ways that we can bless this city, that we can really share with people about God's love. And here's the practical thing. That is, if any of you here are involved in any kind of ministry that blesses this city, because I know of some of the ministries that some of you guys are involved in, but if any of you here that I might not know about are involved in some ministry, please send a message to the line group and let us know, and let us know what kinds of opportunities there may be for our church people to get involved. And it's not to say that we're going to start a program where we're going to do all these things, but perhaps some organization might need some help here, another organization might need some help there, and we'll send out messages to our church saying, hey, let's get people together and let's start doing things for this city. And part of that means to live generously with our finances also. You know, to be completely honest, our church has struggled this year financially. And one of our brothers, our elders, is going to come up to the front to talk about that briefly. But it's because of COVID, a lot of churches all around the world are struggling because if we're not meeting in person, people aren't necessarily giving offering. And so our church has also struggled in it. And we've had a very long discussion about our budget and how can we continue on as a church. And so this is a challenge for all of us here. Do we believe that the Lord would provide for us, even with our finances, everything that we need? And are you willing to sacrificially give and live generously? It really does have to do with how much the Lord is working in us and causing us to trust in what the Lord will do in our lives. And so that's a challenge, but also an encouragement. Remember that the Lord is working in us. And if you have that heart, that desire, respond to that. All right, so let's take this time to pray. And I want to close in prayer, but I want to ask you to just continue to pray in your own heart, whatever the Lord is placing on your heart. It may be a heart, maybe it might be a prayer of confession. It might be a prayer of asking the Lord what He would have you do. with your life. Whatever the prayer might be, take this time to pray. I'm going to pray, and as we sing the song, continue to pray. Let's pray together. God, thank you so much for all that Jesus Christ has accomplished for us on the earth when he lived and when he died and when he rose again. Lord, as our Lord lived generously, Lord, may we also respond living in a generous way as you prompt us, as you continue to guide us, as you teach us to do so through your word. And Lord, that we may live out our lives in the ways that you desire us to do and the ways that you're prompting us to do. And Lord, one day we look forward to inheriting the kingdom. Those of us that have put our trust in you, those of us that are called blessed, that have been known since the foundation of the world. Thank you, Lord. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.